Please accept my apologies. Wonder what would have been. Would you have been a little angel or an angel of sin? Tomboy running round, hanging with all the guys. Or a little tough boy with beautiful brown eyes. I paid for the murder before they determined the sex. Choosing our life over your life meant your death. And you never got a chance to even open your eyes. Sometimes I wonder as a fetus if you fought for your life.
Welcome back to the third hour of Issues, Etc. There's a little bit of a song someone clued me into via email this last week. A Boston rap group, Flipside. Very interesting piece of music. A man who regrets paying for the abortion of his girlfriend. That's a kind of a love letter to the aborted baby. And as time permits, we'll play it a little bit later in this third hour of Issues, Etc. In the meantime, Dorinda Dragon joins us. Staying on the subject of crisis pregnancy centers, occasioned by the Time magazine cover story, the Grassroots Abortion War. What's it like to be at the grassroots and on the front line of this battle? Dorinda Dragon is president of the Central Indiana Crisis Pregnancy Centers, and she joins us for the next few minutes of the program. Dorinda, welcome.
Hello, Todd. Thank you.
Would you walk us through a typical woman's visit to a crisis pregnancy center?
Sure. She's greeted at a reception window by a loving woman, and then she, you know, fills out a little data so that we kind of know a little bit of her decision, what she's thinking at the time, and a little demographics and things like that. Then she is matched up with a counselor that takes her to a counseling room and counsels with her, describes the different options that she has, and just tries to, you know, find out where she's at, what kind of needs she has in her life, because every woman's unique and every situation's very unique, and just lets her, you know, express in her life, in her own words, what's going on with her life. And then we try to be her friend and meet her needs, try to understand the areas that we can help her. And there's just many, many areas. You know, there's financial area that's, you know, a lot of people's concern. We try to help her in financial ways, the best of our knowledge. Sometimes it's just referring her. Sometimes it's, you know, some immediate financial situation that she needs to remedy. Sometimes it's just helping her think outside the box of where she's at right now and what she could do in the future to make money or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's emotional needs. You know, I just emotionally can't handle the pregnancy right now, because a woman that's in an unexpected pregnancy feels very out of control. She feels like her life has just ended. And so emotionally, she just needs a friendship. She needs comfort. She needs love. She needs encouragement. She needs to see hope. So we're there to give her those things. Sometimes it's spiritual needs she has. You know, she's been brought up to believe that abortion is not what God wants, but at the same time, her emotions are pulling on her. Her finances are pulling on her. She feels like that's the only option she has. And so we talk her through that. You know, you can't go against your own heart. You can't, you know, go against God's will without consequences in your life. And so your decision's going to have to be, what am I willing to live through as far as consequences go? Because spiritually, you know, God removes his blessing when we willingly step out of his will. You know, we have this umbrella of protection over us. What is going to be the consequences if we don't have that umbrella of protection? If we willingly step out of his will, we definitely leave the decision up to her to make that choice, but so, let her know ahead of time that there are consequences to every decision we make.
When the girl comes in, are you generally dealing, I mean, you've said a little bit, mentioned a little bit about this, but are you generally dealing with a woman or a girl who understands that she's being pressured into this, and is willing to express the fact that they feel that they don't have a choice in this whole thing?
Sometimes a girl feels like she doesn't have a choice, that she's being coerced by somebody in her life or circumstances, but sometimes circumstances can make her feel coerced. So we try to dispel those circumstances, try to make her understand that it's truly a decision that she will have to live with the rest of her life. And so she needs to be the person that's in control of the decision. She needs to understand all the ramifications of everything so that she can clearly make a wise decision that she will be able to live with. And we, you know, definitely let her know how God feels about it. We let her know the help that's out there for her. But it comes down to the bottom line is if you push a girl into a corner, she's going to make, you know, a bad choice. But if you give her, you lay out all the choices on the table and you say, I'm your friend, I will help you through, you know, there is hope at the end of the tunnel. I love you, I'll take care of you, I'll help you, you know, then she doesn't feel coerced and she truly does make a decision that she can live with.
What kind of questions are the, if there were frequently asked questions that the women coming into a crisis pregnancy center are asking, what would be the top questions they ask?
The top question that they ask, is there anything you can do to help me? Probably be that. And then you just need to investigate what does she mean by that, because that means different to everybody, you know. Is there anything that you can do to help me? And then she'll explain, if you give, you know, ask her open-ended questions, she'll explain what does that mean to her. And most of the time, the answer is, yes, we can help you. Just need to know what is pressuring you. I love to ask the question, you know, what makes you feel so pressured that you feel abortion is your only option? You know, and then she'll open up and talk to me about it, and then maybe I can help her with that. Hopefully I can.
Talk a bit about the technology that's recently become available in crisis pregnancy centers and how that's making a difference. And I'm thinking here in particular about ultrasound.
Yes, ultrasound is wonderful. It's awesome because it takes away the theory. You know, there's a theory that, you know, a baby isn't really a baby until a certain point in time. And then there's the other, you know, Christians tell you that, you know, life begins at conception. It takes both sides and puts it into a picture and says, you look at this picture. You listen to the heartbeat, and then you make the decision, you know, is this a little human being? And the answer that she has to say is yes. You know, she sees the baby moving arms and legs. She sees, you know, the baby jumping around. She hears the heartbeat. You know, we sometimes, very rarely, but we do sometimes pick up a heartbeat at even 4 weeks. And so the heart starts beating 18 to 21 days. We know that just by fetal development. But on ultrasound, you know, usually we hear the heartbeat at 6 weeks. And that is a life-changing sound to a woman because it takes away all the theories and puts it into her court and says, you know, what does a heartbeat mean to you? And most people in their heart of hearts believe a heartbeat means life, you know. So I think it kind of is a very wonderful silent witness to life and the incredible, awesome, you know, thing that God does inside of a woman.
So how do most of these women find out about a crisis pregnancy center? How do they learn about the existence of the center itself?
Well, in Indianapolis, we have 11 centers, and most of it is word of mouth, and a lot of it is, you know, yellow pages, internet, signs as they're driving by. Our signs say free pregnancy test, and they usually stop in for that. We have many more walk-ins than we do appointments. They're driving by, they see free pregnancy tests, they know they possibly, you know, have that going on, so they'll stop in.
Dorinda Dragon is president of the Central Indiana Crisis Pregnancy Centers. Dorinda, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, you're very welcome.
We played a little bit of this coming out of the break. This was last week. One of our frequent listeners emailed me a link to us. I am not a big fan of rap. I'll be quite honest with you. There are a few songs that appeal to me, but this one caught my attention as it did our listeners' attention. It's a song called Happy Birthday, And it is, I must say, the first time I have heard any subject like this dealt with musically at all. There's a Boston rap group called Flipside, and the rapper here in question calls himself Piper for obvious reasons. This is a bit of a confession. He spends the better part of the first, we're going to play the whole thing for you, the better part of the first stanza, if you will, the first verse, making an apology to his unborn child, regretting the fact that he never even knew what the sex of this baby was before he paid for the abortion. And the second part of the, and this is heart-wrenching to listen to as well, the second part of this song we're going to play for you is essentially him saying he knows better now. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's audio open lines for the remainder of the program. We'll deal with a couple things here during audio open lines. But before we leave behind the life subject, I wanted to play this for you. The song's called Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday. So make a wish. Please accept my apologies. Wonder what would have been. Would you have been a little angel or an angel of sin? Tomboy running round, hanging with all the guys. Or a little tough boy with beautiful brown eyes. I paid for the murder before they determined the sex. Choosing all life over your life meant your death. And you never got a chance to even open your eyes. Sometimes I wonder as a fetus if you fought for your life. Would you have been a little genius in love with math? Would you have played in your school clothes and made me mad? Would you have been a little rapper like your Papa the Piper? Would you have made me quit smoking by finding one of my lighters? I wonder about your skin tone, the shape of your nose, and the way you would have laughed and talked fast or slow. Think about it every year, so I picked up a pen. Happy birthday, love you whoever you would have been. Happy birthday.
All I thought was a dream.
Make a wish.
Was as real as it seemed.
Happy birthday.
All I thought was a dream.
Make a wish.
Was as real as it seemed. I made a mistake.
I've got a million excuses as to why you died. Now the people got their own reasons for homicide. Who's to say it would've worked and who's to say it wouldn't have? I was young and struggling, but old enough to be a dad. Fear of being my father has never disappeared. Ponder it frequently while I'm sipping on my beer. My vision of a family was artificial and fake. So when it came time to create, I made a mistake. Now you got a little brother, maybe it's really you. Maybe you really forgave us knowing we was confused. Maybe every time that he smiles is you proudly, knowing that your father's doing the right thing now. I never tell a woman what to do with her body, but if she don't love children, then we can't party. Think about it every year, so I picked up a pen. Happy birthday, love you whoever you would have been. Happy birthday.
All I thought was a dream.
Make a wish.
Was as real as it seemed.
Happy birthday.
All I thought was a dream.
Yeah. Make a wish.
Was as real as it seemed. I made a mistake.
From the heavens to the womb, to the heavens again. From the ending to the ending, never got to begin. Maybe one day we could meet face to face in a place without time and space. Happy birthday. From the heavens to the womb to the heavens again. From the ending to the ending, never got to begin. Maybe one day we could meet face to face in a place without time and space. Happy birthday.
All I thought was a dream.
Make a wish.
Was as real as it seemed.
Happy birthday.
So what do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Just a little something I thought I'd pass along to you, one of our listeners. I think it was Larry and Tammy. Thank you very much for sending that link to me. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines here for the last hour of Issues, etc. I defy anybody who has children to listen to that straight through without getting tears in their eyes. The depth of the regret. And one of the things that we often are criticized for here on Issues, et cetera, is you always talk about abortion as though it was just an issue for the women. Well, there's a very obvious statement that it isn't. I mean, say what you want to, but here is a man admitting that what he did was both murder and wrong, and that it can't be undone, which I think is a very strong argument against abortion. It's one of those things, like those few things in life, that once you do it, you can't undo it. We can't do this without your help. We defend life from beginning to end here on Issues, etc. One way that you can help us defend life from beginning to end is by joining the Issues, etc. Reformation Club. You got one more day to join and get the I Have Issues t-shirt. That's an offer running up until Ash Wednesday. For more information on the Issues, etc. Reformation Club, on the benefits of becoming a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, or a patron, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on the photo of Luther. It's not a photo. It's actually a painting. I don't think they had cameras in those days. The picture of Luther posting the 95 Theses, issuesetc.org. You can also join by check. Just write us at Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can join by credit card. Call our resource line. It's 1-800-737-0172. Go online tonight, issuesetc.org. And we will send you the new I Have Issues t-shirt. Hey, speaking of the I Have Issues t-shirt, Karen in Wyoming emailed us today. I want to read this. I got two emails about the review of the Beth Moore teaching that we did yesterday on the program. And Karen was, I credit Karen as the one who came up with the idea for the I Have Issues t-shirt, because she did. It was all her idea, and we didn't steal it. We asked for permission. But she wrote us today saying, hey, Pastor Wilkin, thanks for reviewing the Beth Moore mess. I think there should be a new genre of Bible studies, biblio studies, straining the scripture through our lives rather than the life of Christ. That is just about the best summary of what Beth Moore does, wrestling the scriptures. She tries to strain it through our lives rather than through the life and death and resurrection of Christ. The only comfort I found, writes Karen, in listening to your critique, besides your clear definition of forgiveness, was the fact that I was utterly confused by what Ms. Moore was saying. I have to admit, in my younger days, I might have at least pretended to understand her study. Thank God for the clear teaching of the means of grace and the proclamation of law and gospel. Please keep these review studies, keep them coming. Thank you very much, Karen. Yeah, we reviewed just as many minutes as we could of Beth Moore's latest teaching. Now, Beth Moore is a big Bible teacher. She makes rounds all over the place. In fact, I understand she has a big live via satellite national event coming up this very Saturday. We didn't time it for that purpose, but it just happened to work out that way. And as I went to Beth Moore's website and looked at the churches that were going to be hosting the live via satellite, and I went down, this is hundreds of churches probably that she has listed on her website who are going to be hosting a big seminar she's doing all day Saturday. 16 of them were Lutheran. Now, I saw a lot of churches in there. There's Assemblies of God, Baptist, non-denominational churches. No surprises there whatsoever, really. No surprises if a Baptist church has Beth Moore do live via satellite. Because what she teaches squares fairly well with what Baptists believe. Or Assemblies of God, or non-denominational churches. No surprises. It is a little surprising, I'm as surprised as I can be, that there are Lutheran churches on the list, or Presbyterian churches on the list, or Catholic churches on the list, because what Beth Moore teaches doesn't square with what those churches teach. And this is a question that started rolling around in our heads this afternoon. Just a basic question. With regard to the pastors who agree to host Beth Moore live via satellite, or who push her books or have her books taught as Bible classes, why do they allow teachings and teachers like Beth Moore in their churches that are opposed to their church's doctrine? Can anyone explain this to me? I had the same question when it was Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Life. When it was so blatantly obvious that what he was teaching not only was wrong from a scriptural standpoint, but disagreed with the doctrine of many churches that were doing 40 days of purpose. Why would pastors do this? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. What are some of the reasons that pastors could give for doing a Beth Moore Bible study? Or hosting Beth Moore Live via satellite? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the February the 20th. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Or for that matter, here's another email, and it raises another question related to the first. It comes from a pastor, again in Wyoming. I guess the Wyoming listeners are... Beth Moore must be a problem in Wyoming. I don't know. Pastor Wilkin, I was a pastor who requested on your listener comment line about how much I appreciate the fine work you do. I was the same pastor who requested a show be done on Beth Moore. You played my comment on the 12th of February. I thank you for doing the show on the 19th, dealing with Beth Moore's teaching. Just last week, writes this pastor, minutes before worship was going to start, I had a woman ran up to me with a Beth Moore poster. She wanted to hang it up in church, advertising a satellite feed at a local Baptist church. That's the one I'm talking about, one coming up here Saturday. I told her no, writes the pastor. And of course that went over well. Haha. As I said in my message, I've had numerous women in my congregation who were attracted to Beth Moore. After listening to your threefold sermon critiques in the past, that was the same filter I've been using for her Bible studies as well. Comes from a pastor in Wyoming. And I asked the question about why would a pastor allow teachers or teachings into his church that disagree with his church's doctrines? Why would lay people clamor for teachers or teachings in their church that disagree with their church's doctrines? Beth Moore is a case in point. She is, by the way, the host of a national television program called Living Proof. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us here in the studio, too. issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's just the why question. Why? What are some reasons that you've heard? If Beth Moore or the other popular Bible teachers are as popular as they appear to be, someone inevitably says, why are we doing this, Pastor? What are some of the reasons you've heard? Why are we doing this when this teacher doesn't agree with our teaching, our doctrine? How does the pastor respond? For that matter, why do pastors refuse and say no? What is it that attracts? Just lay it out for me, if you could. What is it that attracts lay people to teachers that are teaching contrary to their own stated beliefs? We don't do this with politicians. We don't run around advocating politicians who disagree with our political views. We don't say, I really like to hear what this politician has to say, and I really like to study their positions on this a little bit more when they openly disagree with us. We don't go around putting their signs in our front yards, do we? So why with teachers do we advocate their teachings when we know they're wrong? We'll be right back.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Evolution and the school violence problem.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the challenging book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Well, Ken, what has evolution got to do with the recent terrible problem of school violence?
Well, people have been shocked in recent times at the outbreak of violence in America's public schools. And some schools have installed metal detectors to try to curb such violent behavior. But what has evolution got to do with this sad and shocking situation? I believe what we see happening is a result of an education system that has basically eliminated God from the classroom. You see, generations of young people are being brainwashed each day in evolutionary ideas. They're being told they're nothing special. They're just animals that evolved from some lower form of animal over millions of years. And the more society as a whole thinks this way, the more people will act consistently with what they've been taught. You see, if life's not special, then it has no value. If there's no God, and thus there's no absolute authority, anyone can decide right or wrong for themselves. I don't think the students actually realize the connection of violence with evolution, but underneath it all, this anti-God religion has subtly caused them to think life is hopeless and without any purpose.
Well, why is there so much violence, suffering, and death in our world if there's a God? Well, the answer to that often asked question can be found on our fascinating website, AnswersRadio.com. Read Ken Ham's free booklet on why God allows death and suffering at AnswersRadio.com.
We owe our thanks to the gospel writer Luke for that story of those two men who walked on the road to Emmaus with Jesus but did not recognize him. It's found in Luke 24, and we'll talk about it next time on the Bible Study with Pastor Alan Shade of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles. Then at 11 o'clock, we have Lenten worship from Peace Lutheran Church in South County.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Dr. Carl Fakencher on the Center of Seminary Life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Certainly, we would begin by expressing our strong commitment to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions. Everything that we do here is gathered around God's Word, whether that is a matter of our daily worship in the chapel or the prayer life that is a part of our activity together. The classes themselves are always focused on proclaiming Christ as well. I think another very important aspect of our seminary that makes us unique is the relationship between the faculty and the students. And of course, always it's based on our shared faith in Christ Jesus.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or to schedule an on-campus visit, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 25 minutes left. It's audio open lines. Get to your phone calls very quickly. We were talking through the middle of the program about how one of the biggest ways that we defend life from beginning to end is through the Crisis Pregnancy Center and the Time magazine. There's all sorts of ways this takes place. This effort to defend life from beginning to end needs to happen at every front, every place there's a breach in the wall. This is the approach that LCMS World Relief takes in LCMS World Relief's life ministries. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org. There you're going to see a picture of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Click on that, and you'll get to all the information that you need on how LCMS World Relief, among the many other things they're doing worldwide to reach out with the touch of mercy, they are also defending life from beginning to end. You can also donate. Call 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. for the next half hour on this Tuesday, the 20th of February. We're getting your thoughts on why in the world a pastor, would allow what he knows to be, what he admits to be, false teaching and teachers into his church. And why do lay people ask their pastors to promote teachers and teachings contrary to their church's confession? Now, there's a real simple answer, a possible answer, the lay people don't know what their church teaches. Or the pastor doesn't know what his church teaches, which would be very odd, wouldn't it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Gail calls from her car. Hi, Gail. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I can't answer the question on why pastors are allowing this, but I know from a former evangelical background that I actually did teach a Breaking Free a Beth Moore course called Breaking Free. And as I got into it with our 10 ladies that I was teaching, I began to feel that this was not a good thing to be involved in, because she was talking about generational curses and things like this that I had never even heard of. And we began to get into some material that I thought was very suspect. But I had heard she'd had such a good teaching on the tabernacle. Everybody enjoyed it, and so I agreed to teach this. But one of the things you were saying is, why would lay people clamor for this? I think it's being spoon-fed to them. And we're so used to listening to music, listening to TV, listening to Oprah tell us what to do. We are listeners rather than readers and students now. And so Beth Moore is telling us what she thinks we need to hear. And the other thing I want to say was, yesterday you were talking about this binding agreement she was talking about making in this recent Bible study, and all I could help but think of was the indulgences. If we just make this binding agreement, or we just buy this indulgence, we will be free of our problems.
That's an interesting connection to make, Gail. Thank you very much. Thanks for waiting on the line, too. Let's see what Florence has to say in Georgetown, California. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Something I really appreciated what Gail said, as in she has more of an inside view of Beth Moore than I do. But one thing that I noticed, all the people that I know that have been involved with Beth Moore Bible studies are actually doing it in Lutheran churches. There's three different congregations that I have friends that are their members, and the women are very enthusiastic about the passion of Beth Moore. And what has made it less surprising to me is that I think Beth and Rick travel together. The churches that have adopted Beth Moore Bible studies, in my experience, have been Lutheran churches that went to Rick Warren first.
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably a safe bet, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's been my experience. I can't make a blanket statement, but it seems like they do travel together. I've tried to discuss, especially one friend back in Idaho, I tried to talk to her about it, and she said, but you just don't know. She's got so much passion, and that was kind of her measure of truth, instead of looking to doctrine, which this congregation now kind of sees as dry, and because of a previous pastor's influence, they tend to see the confessions and the catechism even as being kind of a dry form of Christianity, but this is something lively. This is something that really brings results.
You know, thank you, Florence. We're asking. The results are the big question here. What results? If it's false teaching, can it have good results? The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that false teaching ever has good results. Never. And it's not neutral either. But Florence, you bring up a good point here, and that is there's a coincidence. I think there's a very clear coincidence between churches that will buy into stuff like 40 Days of Purpose and churches that will buy into stuff like Beth Moore's Bible teachings. I mentioned this before. 16 Lutheran churches, since Florence raises it, 16 Lutheran churches on Beth Moore's own list are hosting the live via satellite that she's doing on Saturday, where she's talking about breaking free. Will she be talking about generational curses? Don't know. I guess it's just a crapshoot. You just roll the dice and see what she's going to say in these churches. Karen calls from her car. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Probably Beth, like Rick and all the others, they scratch the itch for the members, for the pastors. If they've got a user-friendly church and they're looking for numbers, they're going to go with what the people want.
So this is a matter of give the people what they want.
You don't want to get them mad at you. And in some churches, if you don't do what they want, you're out.
Well, that might be true as well. I guess I'd just call that a lack of courage on the part of the pastor. because the people are likely, well, look at what happened at the foot of Mount Sinai. People asked for another god. And Aaron said, all right, give the people what they want. Here's another god. They had a hard time getting the taste of that golden calf out of their mouths. Sandy calls from her car. Hi, Sandy.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I think your discussion is very interesting. I have actually been in several Beth Moore studies through Lutheran Church, LCMS, in the St. Louis area. And I think that the reason our church has offered these, and I agree with the observations that you've made and have had an uneasiness in each of the studies, but I think the reason is a desire to get into Scripture, and she does provide that depth of seeking and forcing you to actually get into the Word. And the women that I've been involved with have wanted to study their Bibles more.
Well, now, Sandy, I understand that, that's actually one of the reasons I've heard in the past explaining this. But if the study of Scripture draws from Scripture things that Scripture doesn't say or misinterpret Scripture, it seems as though that reason pretty much falls apart. I mean, after all, the Pharisees were really hot on studying Scripture. I mean, they had the blinking thing memorized, but they missed the point of Scripture. And Jesus takes them to task for studying Scripture as though their life depended on it and missing the fact, missing the main point.
I agree with those, with your statements, absolutely. I just offered that in response to your question.
Sure.
Why? And I think sometimes the churches let it occur because there isn't strong doctrinal oversight of what our Bible studies are teaching. And it's a desire to help people get into the Word without making sure it's filtered or explained correctly.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I appreciate that insight. I really do. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hey, I mean, Jesus did, at least the Pharisees were studying the Bible, so I got a good idea. Let's develop and market the Pharisees' Bible study. Studying the Bible from the Pharisees' perspective, because at least it gets people studying the Bible, right? As soon as I say it, someone's going to come up with it, and they're going to make $1 million. It may be the next big fad in the fad-driven church. Who knows? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Matt calls from Seward, Nebraska.
It's heartening to hear so many well-catechized Lutheran ladies who are obviously very faithful in their belief in the true doctrine calling in. But it's nothing new about Lutherans running to pietism to get their fix of enthusiasm. And I also bring up again, this pastor who is regularly called, according to the Augsburg Confession, is going to bring in a woman who's not regularly called. And I know she's not actually coming to their church, but he's going to beam her in or however they're doing it, through satellite or whatever, and bring in somebody who's not regularly called according to the Lutheran Confessions and the Scriptures.
Hey, it's easy,
and
man.
Let them teach.
He gets to take Saturday off and let someone else do his job for him.
Is she just teaching women?
Well, she is primarily, her primary appeal is to women, and it's usually marketed as women's Bible studies. But she also has men's Bible studies as well that she offers. And I think that the general call when the churches host these live via satellite things for Beth Moore is to the community. I don't think they leave the men out.
We have some incredibly astute deaconesses who are incredibly theologically grounded and know Greek and Hebrew that could do women's Bible studies for Lutheran women. I think they would do a much better job than this person.
Matt, thank you very much. That's the flip side of the whole question I'm asking. If the question I'm asking is why pastors would knowingly allow false teaching into their congregations, they know it's wrong. I've even had them via email admit that it's wrong. They know where it's wrong, but they say we're going to do it anyway. Why? The flip side of that question is these aren't pastors who don't know how to say no. They haven't lost the ability to say no. They still didn't say no to a lot of things. Florence called before saying that the congregation she has experience with really doesn't have much, doesn't use the catechism, Luther's small catechism. They consider it passé. Well, they've said no to the catechism. I mean, this is perplexing. Why a pastor would knowingly, admittedly, permit false teaching into his congregation. Or, at the very least, say, well, I don't know for sure that Beth Moore is a false teacher. Let's wait and see. Let's invite the whole community to our church for Beth Moore Live via satellite, and we'll see. Just roll the dice. Whatever she happens to say, maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't be. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're getting your answers to these two questions. Why would pastors knowingly permit false teaching in their congregation? And why would lay people clamor for it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, I did a little Google search of Beth Moore and Lutheran churches. And it just went on for pages. Because I was curious. Florence called from California saying that the people she knows who've been involved in Beth Moore Bible studies have all done them in their own Lutheran churches. It could be Presbyterian, it could be Catholic. It doesn't really make much difference. Her teaching fits in the Baptist church, the non-denominational church. It doesn't fit in the others. One of the congregations, actually, I think it's one of those that's hosting the Beth Moore Live, has on their website, "We're a congregation doing whatever it takes to reach people." Doing whatever it takes to reach people. And if it's Beth Moore and false teaching, let's just fill in the blank here. Does this work? We're a congregation dedicated to doing whatever it takes, even permitting false teaching, if it reaches people. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So much for Paul's admonition to Timothy, watch your doctrine and life closely, for thereby you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I don't think I heard Paul say, come on, don't be so worried about your doctrine. There's nothing at stake. Ken calls from his car. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to mention a little bit of a takeoff on what you just now said. In some denominations, pastors have to show growth. If you're not growing numerically, you're not pastoring and you're not doing God's work. And I know that there are quite a number of pastors who simply want to generate those numbers, and they'll do anything it takes to do that.
Yeah, and that is true in some denominations. I mean, there are churches, and a previous caller mentioned this, there are churches that if the pastor is perceived as not doing his job, that is not drawing in the crowds in sufficient numbers, then they just can tell him goodbye. They can hand him his pink slip. And then there are these denominations, like I mentioned before, many of them striving to maintain a clear scriptural confession of faith, where the pastor isn't judged on his performance in terms of numbers, but he's actually, at least ostensibly, held accountable for what he teaches in terms of true or false doctrine. And those are the churches I'm wondering about. I'm not wondering about the churches where all they care about is results. I'm wondering about the churches where they at least say on paper that they care about the truth of what they teach, but still knowingly permit false teaching. I'm not going to say this yet, but I think I have the simplest explanation of all. I'll share it with you in a few minutes. Let's see what Ellen thinks. She calls from Chesterfield. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hello, Pastor Wilkin. I don't know a whole lot about Beth Moore. I think I caught her on TV a couple of times and didn't really listen, but I'm not surprised to hear that some of these people are participating in Lutheran churches, because if we're so many of our churches, we've tossed out the liturgy. So why even, you know, the next thing to go is our Lutheran heritage, and we allow all this other theology of glory to come in. I mean, you know, if we're having fun with drums and tambourines on Sunday morning, why not let these people in too? I'll hang up and listen and see what you think about that thought.
Ellen, thank you. Well, what you highlight there is what I've talked about in an article I wrote called The Fad-Driven Church, where if a congregation lives on a steady diet of the false teaching of church fads, it eventually loses the ability to discern truth from error. It loses what it takes to discern truth from error. A long enough exposure to error robs you of your ability to tell whether it's wrong or not. And these pastors who say a little bit of false teaching every once in a while, if it's 40 Days of Purpose or Beth Moore, isn't going to hurt anybody. Except that you're robbing your people of the ability to discern whether it's true or false. The truth will set you free, I think, is what Jesus said. I don't think he said the truth or falsehood. Take your choice. Either one sets you free. It's all good. Cindy calls from South County. How, Cindy?
Hi. I'd like to read John chapter 10, verse 12. But a hireling, he is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep.
Cindy, I think you answered the pastor question. Thank you. Or we should say more accurately, that was Jesus who answered the pastor question. Hey, what?
Do you have a list of why they do?
I got a list in my head.
Okay, we'll go one at a time here. You go first. What's your first one?
You mean possible excuses?
Yeah, I just got a list of why pastors.
These are not reasons. These are excuses.
Okay,
excuses. I want to make that clear from the very get-go.
Okay, give me one.
Okay, but no, wait a minute. Before I deal with the excuses, there's a reason why this happens. Cindy's given us the pastor reason. Because they've laid down the mantle of the called shepherd, and now they're just hirelings. The lay people, I think the only legitimate reason would be that they don't know what it is their church believes. They are acting out of ignorance. That's a reason that I can accept. And there's a remedy for that reason, which is, why don't we teach our lay people, instead of what Beth Moore believes, how about what we're supposed to believe from Scripture? Okay? Excuses. We can bone spit. We take the meat, but we spit the bones. Now, I have a response to that one. You want me to respond to it?
Yeah.
Here's my response. That works unless it's a rotten fish. If it's a rotten fish, then you don't want to eat the meat or the bones. Or you're assuming that everyone is able to discern meat from bones. Hand a fish to a baby. Would you let a baby in a high chair eat fish with bones in it? No, you wouldn't. You got one?
Many pastors are non-confrontational.
All right.
Do you want another one for me?
Sure, give me another
Many
one.
Many pastors are politicians. You give the people what they want. You're just representative government. You're a politician.
You're simply there to represent the whims and the desires of the people at that particular moment in time, okay?
And the non-confrontational politician, there's lap over there.
Sure, sure.
I think a lot of it's a woman's thing. Just let the women go do their little thing. And,
oh,
you know,
that's one I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Come on, it's the women. What are we worried about?
And I think most pastors are afraid to tell women no than men.
Why?
I don't know, because I think men, you know, women might take it more personally. I mean, I know I'm generalizing here, but you know how men can go back and forth and argue about sports or whatever and nobody's feelings get hurt.
Yeah, no hard feelings.
So I think a lot of them are more afraid, maybe more afraid, this is just pure speculation, that they're more afraid to tell women no.
Yeah, especially when the woman runs up to him with the Beth Moore poster saying, can I hang this in the church? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't want to hurt her feelings.
And we might not get that money from the LWML this year, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League.
But I don't think it's always money. I don't think it's always money. Okay, you got another one? You're on a roll. Go ahead.
You brought up a good one. I mean, it's basically, this is to reach the lost. But my thing is, how do unbelievers find out about Beth Moore? I mean, she's on Christian radio and Christian TV. The people, you know, generally watching her are...
This is about reaching the lost, but you notice you were a listener yesterday. You weren't in here listening in your little cubicle.
That's why the show was good yesterday, because I wasn't here.
It was great. Never been better. Well, if you listen to Beth Moore's teaching, it's very clear that she thinks she's addressing Christians. This is a Bible teacher who consciously is talking to believers. She's dealing with matters that only believers can discuss. She's talking to them as though they are believers. So if this is about attracting the unbelievers, they need a different teacher. Because the unbeliever is going to walk in and say, I do not know what Beth Moore is talking about. Actually, I take that back. The unbeliever will walk in and say, I know exactly what Beth Moore is talking about. Because what she's talking about isn't what believers believe. It's what the unbelievers believe. Go ahead.
False teaching is neutral. Doesn't hurt people.
Yeah, that's the. I mentioned that before. The common misconception that false teaching is benign. It doesn't hurt anything.
This ties into it. I think a lot of church growth pastors have tied into they believe in once saved, always saved. So therefore, they're saved. They can't fall away from the faith. So what's it going to hurt them?
Yeah, what's a little false teaching going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I got, buddy.
That was your list?
Yeah.
You made it sound like this big, long thing. We could go on for hours. Okay. Look, here's a couple excuses that I think. Back to the whatever it takes excuse. Look, we're going to do whatever it takes. But all you got to do there is fill in the blank. By the way, the whatever it takes strategy isn't a strategy. It's an admission that you don't have a strategy. It's an admission you don't know what the heck you're doing. You're just making it up as you go along. Whatever it takes. A lot of churches have adopted this, whatever it takes. Even false teaching? Well, no, except in the case of Rick Warren or Beth Moore, or Prayer of Jabez or Promise Keepers. There are a lot of exceptions, aren't there? When a church says whatever it takes, that's usually a good sign that they've abandoned doctrinal principle for pragmatism. In fact, I think whatever it takes is kind of the creed of pragmatism. It's not a creed you hear articulated by Jesus or the apostles. You know, very early in the apostles' career, they had an opportunity to do whatever it takes. They were out there preaching about Jesus, Christ and Him crucified, and the Jewish leaders brought them in and gave them an alternative. They said, how about this? Stop preaching about Jesus. Now, if the apostles had adopted the whatever it takes to bring in the crowd credo, they would have stopped preaching about Jesus. Right? It would have made more people happy. But they didn't. Thank God they didn't. At Concordia Theological Seminary, they are all about producing faithful pastors, not fad-driven pastors, not people-pleasing pastors. Shepherds, not hirelings. Consider a visit to Concordia Theological Seminary this spring. Yeah, wait for it to warm up. It's a more pleasant visit. Prettier, too. For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they're not only equipping men with the truth, but they're also equipping them to discern truth from falsehood, and a very important skill for pastors and for lay people. Find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155. Christ-centered, cross-focused, 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Tomorrow on the program, of course, it's Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the season of Lent. We'll talk about both of those subjects with Pastor Phil Zielinski of Concordia Theological Seminary. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for all the calls, and thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.